Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 37 of season 4 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com, When Harry Met Sally, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today, after finishing all of her birthday festivities yesterday, hopefully she's still with us and not completely bombed out of her brains, is Lisa Leahy of Rabbit Hole Podcast. Welcome back, Lisa.
I need you to lower your voice, Rob. I'm still recovering. You're just a little too loud for me. I'm doing okay, but I think I'll make it through.
All right. Well, we'll let Harry and Sally help you out with her a little bit.
Okay.
So minute 37 begins with Harry trying to be truthful to himself and ends with a split screen of Casablanca. So we'll get there. So yesterday we ended things with Harry, playing a game of throwing cards into a hat. And, this minute actually continues with him doing it. But the one thing I like is that the minute begins with the close up, and then after 2 seconds, we get a wide shot where we see that this apartment is this humongous New York apartment that only characters in movies and TV shows can afford, and it's completely empty. They always talk about that about Friends and Seinfeld, Seinfeld maybe, but Friends, how can any of them afford to be living in those apartments that they're living in? But who knows? That's the fun of it.
Totally. I mean, I think political consulting pays really well.
Probably. But he probably should get some furniture.
Mm-hmm. Well, it pays for the space. It doesn't pay for the furnishing.
Right. That's true. But, you're saying he no longer has money for the furnishing because he's paying for the space.
You got it.
That could be true. Because, Helen Hilson, the lawyer, maybe that was their deal. He paid for the apartment and she paid for the furniture.
And then, that's a good idea. It's a good partnership.
And then when Mr. Zero showed up, they took all the furniture and just left him with one lounge chair and I don't even know what that. Oh, it's like a little table which has a boombox on it. We'll get there. And so one of the things that Harry was talking about at the end of yesterday was he was asking Sally if she has trouble sleeping because he has trouble sleeping. And then he goes, I really miss Helen. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm coming down with something.
It's one of those 24-hour tumors.
Yes. Do you think he's... No, well, he hasn't had the tumor yet. First thing he says is that, he said, last night I was up at 4 in the morning watching Leave it to Beaver in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, buenos dias. Buenos dias. Señorita Cleaver or something like that. I don't remember exactly.
Señora Cleaver? I don't remember.
Señora. Ah, okay. Buenos días, Señora Cleaver. ¿Dónde está Wallace and Theodore?
There it is.
Which to me, the fact that Tony Dow passed away 6 months ago, and we also know that, actually more than 6 months ago at this point, and, I'm trying to remember the actor's name who played Eddie Haskell also passed away.
I'm not gonna know. I'm sorry.
I can't remember his name at this point. I used to know it.
I'm sure if you said it, I'd be like, oh yeah, that guy. But I don't remember it. It's not a show I grew up with. So
really?
No, I didn't grow up with that one. Not the reruns or anything. It wasn't in my
I didn't grow up with the shows in the 50s. That's for sure not.
Well, no, but like reruns and stuff, I didn't watch those. I grew up so. The Nick at Night shows I watched most were Donna Reed and Green Acres.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And my brother watched Get Smart and Car 54, Where Are You? Leave It to Beaver never appealed to me for whatever reason. And I never really watched The Brady Bunch either. That was another one this big with my friends, but it wasn't my thing.
Oh, okay. No, Brady Bunch. One of my favorite trivia facts of Brady Bunch is that one of the final episodes aired on the day I was born.
Look at you shutting down the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, seriously.
We don't need this anymore. Yeah. Rob is here.
Rob is born. We don't need Brady Bunch. There you go. All right, that's fair. Right, so his name was Ken Osmond. He passed away in 2020.
Oh.
He played Eddie Haskell.
Got it. That name does not ring a bell. So really don't know what I'm
There
talking
you go.
about.
No, because I remember in the 80s they had on right when the Disney Channel showed started, they had a resurgence of Leave It to Beaver by having a new show called Still the Beaver, where
No.
Beaver and Wally were grown up, and
Ugh,
they
I
had their
hate
own
those kinds of
kids.
things.
Yeah, but
Ugh.
it's I hate what the way they do it now, because
Yeah, they
now
don't work.
they don't work. But then it was fun to see those characters, because again, I grew up at the same time watching these characters, from the 50s, and then wow, in the 80s you have them, as parents themselves. So that was fun to take a look at those shows. Probably if I were to watch them now, they wouldn't be as enjoyable as they were back when I was a kid, but who knows? So while we get this voiceover, the shot changes and we see Harry sitting on his couch, right? And he's reading a book. Okay, Stephen King's Misery. Next to him, we see a tissue box, Pepto-Bismol, a glass of orange juice, some medication. I can't really make out what medication it is or anything like that. Then he
You're
has
just
a
surprised there's only one.
correct. That's true also. So first of all, one of the bits of trivia about the fact that he's reading Misery is
Okay.
Misery is the next movie that Rob Reiner directed after this one. I mean, you're familiar with Rob Reiner's work on with Stephen King from Stand By Me.
Yes,
You know,
absolutely.
not just
Yes.
you know, not just Misery.
No,
Misery
definitely
has
not.
company, I guess.
Oh, it does. You haven't mentioned the most appalling part of this moment, is that he mentions this, that this is a thing he does, but God
Yes.
help me, he flips to the end of the book and reads the last page.
That is correct. That is
Oh,
correct.
like crimes against reading. Like, oh, don't do
Well, I
that.
gotta tell you, and I've mentioned this before. I mentioned it, the week when he talked about the fact that that's what he does. If I were to take any book that I would read, reading the last page doesn't really help you, because it's usually summing up things, but you don't know who the characters are.
Yeah, but I mean, the stories that I like best have a kick to them. I don't want to know what's on the next page, let alone what's at the end.
I understand that, but
Like,
how
I
much are you
have
going to
physically
understand?
covered.
My point is, how much are you going to understand about what happens at the end if you haven't read the whole, 200
I don't
pages
know.
beforehand? That's
I
my
can't
point.
do it.
Because
I get it.
they're going to be talking about characters that you're not familiar with.
Yeah, I guess that's true. There's a logic to it, but I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I
Okay, I
can't do
understand. I understand. Yes, he starts reading.
it.
He starts reading and then he flips the last page, and we also see a picture of Stephen King in the back. On the
Oh,
back cover.
love.
Okay. So
Love.
what do you know about Stephen King?
What do I know about Stephen King? I know he's my favorite author.
Okay.
I know that I love him dearly, and I will be panicked when he gives up writing. The irony in that is that I'm way behind on his current books. I can also tell you that as a horror fan, I certainly do not wish this on the man, but his books were more impactful and were far scarier when he was on the alcohol and the drugs. My favorites of his are the ones when the man was on far too many substances to be
What's your
human.
favorite Stephen King novel?
My favorite is The Shining, followed very closely by Needful Things,
Okay, I
which
love
I think is
Needful Things.
painfully. I think it's so underrated. It never comes up in everybody's favorites. So I love that you love it.
I love Needful Things because it
So
takes
good.
because well, partially because I'm a big fan of The Body slash Stand By Me. And they bring Ace Merrill back, and like just the way the story goes is just unbelievable. They had a really poorly done TV movie about Needful Things that just didn't work. And they didn't even have Ace Merrill in it.
You mean the Max von Sydow version?
Yes.
That was a
Oh,
TV. That was
sorry. That wasn't a TV. Wait, you sure? It was a movie.
yes, that was a major release. That I like that movie quite a bit, actually. No, the TV
No, but I
one,
don't like
like
it. I don't like it because of the fact of how much they cut out from.
but that's every Stephen King book. I mean, these are the days before Harry Potter, when Kitten Squisher kinds of books got two movies. You know, like you didn't get that back then unless it was a mini series, which is how you know Needful Things wasn't a mini series, because it was what? Like 4.5 hours long. And then you have Salem's Lot, which was like 3.5 hours long, which actually came before it. It came out in 1990. And then you have like Tommyknockers, you have the remake of The Shining in March 97, which I adore, and I will die on this hill. And The Stand, which was like 6.5 hours long, that thing ran over 4 hours. So if Needful Things was going to be one of those, you know, like The Langoliers and some of those others, those were all on TV.
Right. The Langoliers was a great book. I didn't like the movie, even though it had Dean Stockwell in it. I'm a big fan of
Dean
Stockwell.
I didn't like the movie either. I thought it was crap.
Right. But so Needful Things, the version that was released in the theater, I did not like, but I've seen the extended edition, which is over 3 hours. They have a 187 minute version. That gives you so much more about the characters. Yes. And that version I like better. I saw it a few years ago again. And I actually gave it a rating of 8 out of 10, you know, 4 out of 5. Cause I really enjoyed the way it is, even though the book is still better because, you know,
the book is almost always better. Like I have a few books, well, not Stephen King necessarily. But
no, but I have Stephen King things. That's the thing. You have like Stand By Me and Shawshank. Obviously, both of them from different seasons. That they are both the movie and the book are amazing.
Just as good.
That's right.
So is The Green Mile.
Yes, correct.
And The Mist.
No, The Green. You know what? The Green Mile. I got to say, I like the movie better because because the thing I don't like about the book is the way that it you know, it recaps, because it was originally done as 6 separate mini stories. So the first few pages of each of them is recapping what happened in the last one. I didn't like the way that they did that. That I found that just to be, you know, because when you read it in order, you know, it's rehashing what you just read.
See, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because when that was happening, I held off. I said, I do not believe for a second that they're not eventually going to release a single version of this with everything in one place. So I waited. And so I read it in one shot. I didn't do that because I hate that cliffhanger thing. I don't want to wait months for things, which is why I don't like when one book is split into two movies, that Harry Potter effect. I hate that because I won't watch the first movie. I will now wait, watch the first movie, and then go see the second movie in the theater immediately.
Right. Okay. That's fair. I understand that. That makes sense.
But The Mist is another one that was super, super good. Like the right on par with the book.
But that's also Frank Darabont. You know, there you go.
He's good at what he does. You know, he's good at what he does.
That's right. My favorite, between those two movies, I can't even say which is my favorite Stephen King, whether I like Stand By Me or Shawshank better. They're both great. And The Green Mile is right behind them. You know,
so good.
You know, I can sit and watch The Green Mile for 3 hours without any problems, you know.
It's that wonderful story of like who was it? That old woman talking to Stephen King and saying how she doesn't like that horror. Why can't you write something nice like that Shawshank Redemption movie? You know, like not having the faintest idea who he is.
Yeah, I actually saw Shawshank in the theater, not realizing that I had read it already.
Oh, cool! Yeah. Oh, see, that's neat.
Because like I had read it a few years earlier. And never made the connection. And then, you know, the friend said, oh, let's go see this movie, Shawshank Redemption. I was like, okay. You know, because the book is Rita Hayworth in Shawshank Redemption.
And I never, I used to teach that book.
And I never made a connection between them. And I'm sitting in the movie and I'm watching it and I'm going, wait a second. I know what's going to happen here. I remember
this guy, you know? Red sounds real familiar.
Exactly. So.
Yeah, I have a film elective that I go through, and I teach Shawshank Redemption for cinematography. Stephen King just permeates my world.
Okay.
Very much what That's we fair. Do. My That's husband's fair. A big fan, so.
Have you been to his house in Bangor?
I have. We did a tour with a guy who's kind of like, he purports to be like the only authentic one, that like he's friends with the Kings and blah blah blah, and so we pile into his little van and I'm this nerd sitting there taking notes on every single thing he says, And he told us when he brought us to their house that, you know, sometimes he's there and he comes out to see people. And I went into this weird Schrodinger's panic of, I don't know whether I do want him to come out or whether I don't, because if I ever meet this individual, I've never met Stephen King. If I ever meet him, I don't know that I'll be able to talk. I'll just become a blathering idiot.
So and I guess, so he, did I guess not he wasn't come home. Out. He wasn't home.
He wasn't home that day.
But did
but
you
it
go
was
inside?
Just like, I went,
were you allowed to go? You didn't.
No.
Home. Right.
No.
So I have a brother that lives in Bangor. And when I was in the States back in the summer, so I drove from New Jersey to Maine to go visit my brother for just overnight. You know, I drove 8 hours each way, you know, just to go see him. And he took me to Stephen King's house and we stood outside and took some pictures and stuff like that. You know, like when my brother wanted me to come visit, when I was talking about that I was going to come visit him, I said, well, wait a second, maybe I won't come because I've read about too many crazy things that happened in Maine. You know, but
Maine's a mess.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful place to be.
Oh, though. It was. It was great.
New England. See, the thing is, it's New England. It's not Maine. It's New England that's a mess. I'm a cop to that.
Okay, that's true. That's true. But no, some of my other favorites, Stephen King novels are or stories. I love Rage and The Long Walk, which are from the Bachman
book. The Long Walk. I can't believe The Long Walk isn't a movie yet. I know there's rumors that it's happening.
There's been rumors
for years.
But how the
hell has that movie never happened?
There's been rumors
for years. It's the simplest thing. I don't know why they haven't. This could be an easy, low-budget movie.
Could be. So could Rage.
I'm amazed.
So could Rage, because Rage basically all takes
place.
They
won't make Rage.
Nowadays, for sure they won't. Right. Now they won't.
They won't publish it anymore. He pulled that.
Oh, seriously? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't publish. You can't get that in a new edition of the Bachman books. You have to get a used version, because he pulled that after Columbine.
Wow. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So do you know what his full name is?
Stephen King?
Yes. What's his middle name?
I don't remember.
Edwin. Stephen Edwin King.
I might have known.
And when,
I know I've read like biographies and stuff.
Okay. And when was he born?
Don't know.
1947, September 21st.
Okay. Oh, that's right, because he shares a birthday with Bill Murray.
Ah, they were born on the same day.
Were they actually born on the same day?
I don't know.
I know he shares the date, because I post, you know, happy birthday to the two men that if I had met them, I would become a blathering idiot, because Bill Murray's another one for me.
Interesting.
And all my Comic-Con experience, like I would love for Rhode Island Comic-Con to get Stephen King. They'll never get Bill Murray, but oh my God, if they ever got Stephen King, I'd be an idiot.
No,
I
Bill Murray's 3 years younger. He was born in 1950.
Okay. Gotcha. And my husband, speaking of Chicago, my husband went to the same high school that Bill Murray went to.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very nice. So he's known as the King of Horror.
Yes.
Which is obviously a play on his last name. You know, obviously.
Pun very much intended.
Completely. So the book that Harry is reading is Misery, which came out in 1987. Which is interesting. It came out just a year before they were producing this movie, basically. You know.
And I read that book for the first time within the last year.
Wow. But I'm assuming you've seen the movie before.
Oh, totally. Totally. See, it's one of those books that, like, I've seen the movie. I tend more toward the supernatural. So, like, crazy people I love in a movie, but I'm not necessarily as drawn to that in a book. So, like, the experience of the movie I thought was brilliant. I also looked at this and said, how do you top Kathy Bates? The book is wonderful, but it will always be Kathy Bates first.
Right. Okay. That's fair. Do you know that they had a play? It was on Broadway for
I went with Bruce Willis.
That's
I wanted
right.
to go.
Bruce Willis and Laurie Metcalf.
I really wanted to go. Yep. I didn't get to
go. And Laurie Metcalf actually was nominated for a Tony for her work in the movie, in the play.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah. So and in Finland they have an adapted version that's also that came out in the play. Now, do you notice that came out in the theater? Did you notice here when Harry's sitting, there's something? Do you notice something in his mouth?
Yes. Do you have like a highlighter or something?
No, he has a thermometer in his mouth.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes, because remember the voiceover is talking about the fact that, you know, that he might be coming down with something.
Right. Of course.
Because to go back to the dialogue, he says, "I really miss Helen. Maybe I'm coming down with something. Last night I was up at 4 in the morning watching Leave It to Beaver in Spanish." And he goes, "I'm not well." And then Sally responds by saying, "Well, I went to bed at 7:30 last night. I haven't done that since the third grade." So then Harry says, "Well, that's the good thing about depression. You get your rest." Sally then
You do.
goes, "I'm not depressed." "Okay, fine." So it's a great conversation between the two of them.
Oh, it's wonderful.
The way that just flows, the way that they do it. And after while he's talking about this, we have the fact of that he flips to look at the last page.
Oh, kills me. Kills me.
Right. So do you think Sally is depressed and just denying it, or just the fact that she just felt like going to sleep early? Because she's constantly saying that she's over Joe, and that she's fine with
Yeah,
it.
I think she was just tired. I don't think she's over it. I'm sure she's got her own thing, 'cause it'll manifest differently. But I don't think she's depressed. I think she's probably exhausted. There might be stuff that she's tamping down that's kind of bubbling up, and she's just like, forget it, I need to go to sleep. But I don't think she's depressed to the extent Harry is.
Well, maybe she's exhausted from the tap dancing she's doing.
That's it. See, that kind of exercise, it really gets you, it helps you sleep.
Yes. Makes sense.
Least that's what I'm told.
Exactly. Ditto. But when you look at it, it just looks very funny the way that she says how tired she was, and we see her, doing like a tap dance workout or
Oh
whatever
my
you would
God,
call it.
it's crazy. Yep.
So that just really, really works. And then Harry, it seems that Harry is trying to justify the fact that it's okay to be depressed and sleep.
Totally.
But
It's okay to do that. We're going to normalize that.
yeah. And then the shot changes once again after she's done with her tap dancing. And this is a great scene that I've seen this movie dozens of times, and I never paid attention to the fact that they have this little scene where we see the two of them in a Chinese restaurant. Okay, where we see Sally,
And she's
she's
coming up like
that's
the
right.
hand
She's
motions.
doing hand motions, she's miming to the waiter what it is that she wants. And then the conversation changes as she's doing that. The voiceover conversation where they start talking about the bed. Harry says, "Do you still sleep on the same side of the bed?" And then Sally goes, "I did for a while, but now I'm pretty much using the whole bed." Harry goes, "God, that's great. I feel weird when my leg wanders over. I miss her." Then she goes, "I don't miss him. I really don't. Not even a little. You know what I miss? I miss the idea of him. Maybe I only miss the idea of Helen. Nah, I miss the whole Helen."
That's a thing. I totally understand. I know what she's talking about. Missing the idea of somebody as opposed to missing that actual person.
Right. Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
It's this premise that you make of somebody. Like you fall for somebody, and a lot of it is a generated idea of who that person is, and you've ignored and kind of washed away any sort of negative elements. And so, like, the idea of this person and the idea of being with someone who knows you that well.
Right.
And then when that person is gone, it's sort of like, oh,
Yeah. What am I going to
I
do
mean,
now?
I had a similar serious relationship break up, and like, I knew I made the right decision, but for a while I was mourning the loss of a relationship, not necessarily that
Right.
person.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. Now, I love what Billy Crystal does in this scene, in the Chinese restaurant. He's just sitting there staring and enjoying himself from the perspective that she's driving the waiter crazy. Okay. Now, I don't know if you noticed this, but the waiter at the end looks over at him for like help. And
He's like, nope, not gonna help.
he's like, "No, deal with it
I mean,
yourself."
he's kind of delighting in this is who she is, this is how she's gonna do it.
Right.
He's just, and it's a wonderful moment. They goof about get yourself someone who looks at you like, right? And he knows this is her, he accepts her as she is, and he's just gonna wait until she's done. And I think it's wonderful.
And then it changes again, and we see another scene of the two of them. And Sally is standing by a mailbox, putting letters in one at a time, checking to make sure each of them goes in. And Harry is standing
Yes.
there, and he walks back and forth. He paces back and forth a little bit, and then at a certain point, he just loses it, walks over to her, grabs all the letters out of her hands, puts all the letters in the mailbox at the same time, and then wants them to walk away. And then she goes back and opens it once again to make sure that they
She's
all went
checking.
down. And it's
Yes.
great. It's really great the way that they do that.
Essential.
Yes.
I love it.
And it, I mean, these are great snippets of their lives in order to show us, that they've gotten to know one another really well. It's a great way to show that how their friendship has moved along, even though this isn't a very long time between the whole thing, because this is all the fall.
Right.
We saw them, they met in the fall, and this is still the fall. So we'll talk about later in the week, that so we're only talking a month or two, of this of this friendship that has worked, that's working really well for the two of them.
After they've sort of reconnected, yeah.
And then the last line of this minute is hearing Sally say, "Last scene." And we see a split screen of the two of them looking at their own, each of them looking at their TV set in their apartment, watching Casablanca, which is,
I
it's
love a split
great.
screen.
They do this really, really well. On the commentary, they talk about the
Yes.
fact that they were debating how to do it, and they decided to go with the split screen just to show
Yes.
it, to make it seem as if the two of them are basically lying in bed together, because their heads are almost touching at the split screen, the way that
It's so
the
great.
way that it's done. And that's really, it really brings through the fact that these two are kindred souls, even though
Yes.
they don't realize it themselves. Not at this point, and it'll take them a while to finally realize it.
Yeah. Still got a few minutes to
Yeah, exactly.
go.
So, I have nothing else for this minute. Do you have anything else for this minute before we get into the script?
No, I think we're good. Go for the script.
Okay. So again, the script is pretty similar, but they have a whole bunch of different cuts of where they're showing them. It says throughout the following, we see a series of shots showing Sally busily typing in her office, Sally shopping in Bloomingdale's, Sally tap dancing in a studio, Sally picking up groceries, Sally fixing dinner, chopping, setting table, being good to herself. And after Sally says, "I'm not depressed," so Harry says, "Oh, okay, fine. Oh, put on 23. It's the nude talk show." And then Sally
That's
goes,
very
"How can
different.
you watch that? What? You don't find it interesting watching naked people discussing insider trading?" Sally then responds,
Oh
"I
my
guess my scope
God.
is limited. ESPN? I'm there." And then she goes, "What's the deal with arena football? Makes her sound like Seinfeld. What's the deal with arena football?"
Really does.
And Harry says, "What? It's good. If it catches on, there's no telling where it could lead. Arena golf, arena yachting."
Yachting.
And then it says Harry and Sally walking out of a movie theater, and down the street. It's day, which again we don't get to see them. And then they continue with the conversation, and then it says Chinese restaurant. Sally is going through a very detailed ordering session. The waiter is trying to keep up. Harry just stares. Harry and Sally are walking along. Sally spots a mailbox, stops, and opens her purse and pulls out a stack of mail. She proceeds to place the mail in the box one letter at a time, checking to see that each letter has safely entered the box. Harry stands impatiently waiting. And then Sally says, "I found this book that gives you some really good tips on how to enjoy being alone." "Like what?" "Like never eat standing up. Make a nice meal for yourself and sit at a table." "Sounds good. As soon as I get a table, that's exactly what I'll do." And then it says, Harry's impatience with Sally's letter mailing has gotten the best of him. He impulsively grabs the remaining letters in her hand, opens the box, shoves them in, then hustles her off. So, yeah, that's what we got for
I
the
love
script.
it. Pretty
Yeah,
good.
it's pretty good. I like some of the back and forths between them there. It works. So every Tuesday we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track. courting dating edition, where my guests will give some sort of story, anecdote, adventure, misadventure, something that happened to them over the course of life that's related to either courting or dating. So, Lisa, you have a story for us?
I do. It just sort of came to mind immediately, so I guess it would be the mishap, but it's, for a while in my late 20s, I was spending a lot of time with online dating because my friends were all married and that sort of thing. So it was a lot of time either on my own or trying to find somebody to take me on a second date. Got ignored a lot online dating. So I would send a lot of messages, get nothing back. But this one guy that I was chatting with, we went back and forth for a while. And I don't remember any other details except for the fact that he was a Yankee fan. And of course I would make the joke like, all right, I guess we can still go out at least once. I'll allow you this one thing. And so we went. I was going to meet him at, I always met the person because I was paranoid enough that that's what I would do. So we're meeting at like a sports bar kind of thing. And so I went and I sat at the bar. I was just kind of hanging out, just sort of having a drink and watching some baseball on TV. And this dude never showed up. He never showed up. It's when I got stood up. So I was ignored constantly on, the actual dating websites themselves, but I had never agreed to meet somebody and have them not come. So, you go through this whole thing with self-esteem where you think, okay, did the guy walk in, take one look at me and hightail it out of there, or did this guy just blow me off? So regardless, but it's one of the times that I remember where I didn't leave. I ended up getting something to eat. I asked the guy to change one of the TVs to the Braves game because I'm an Atlanta fan. Even though I live in New England, it is what it is. But I wanted to watch the Atlanta game. And so I had my drink, I had something to eat. I didn't just leave with my tail between my legs. The dude was a Yankee fan anyway. He was never going to work out. But it's always interesting to me because, you have these mishaps in dating. And this was my I got stood up story. Because never heard from again. I don't even think I even reached out to him to say, yo, dude, where'd you go? But I like it because I sort of took control of it. And it was nice because I wasn't always super confident in dating and still have my moments of self-esteem doubt. But this was a day where I was like, oh, cool. Screw you. You're lost. I'm going to sit here and watch my baseball game and have something to eat. So
Okay,
that's
that's
my little
great.
story.
That's a great story. It really is. I think you did a very
Thank
nice job
you.
of that. My philosophy when I was dating was always, worst comes worst, I'll have a good meal.
That's it. That's it.
Obviously, because of the way society looks at it, I'm paying for the meal anyway. So, what can I do? So I might as well enjoy myself.
I went Dutch on a lot of dates, so it
Yeah,
is what
exactly.
it
We've all been there, or many of us have.
True, true.
All right, great. So you want to tell people how to get in touch with Lisa Lee?
Sure. So you can find me in the Rabbit Hole Podcasts Network. You can find us on Spotify, pretty much any podcatcher. But to really find the home base, you want to go online to rabbitholepodcasts.com. I am one of the co-hosts of Whatever with Jason Soto. You can catch me with Jason also on Between the Scares, which is a podcast in which we go through every film that Jason Blum and Blumhouse Productions have put out into the world. You can catch me on The Sib List, and that is all three of them found on Rabbit Hole Podcasts. And you can also catch me on the Lambcast quite a bit because I just won't go away. And Richard is very kind and hasn't found a way to get rid of me.
All right, while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe to my podcast or maybe listen to the show on. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, or you can go directly to my website, movierobminute.com. So until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's having.
Gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. Had to be you.